हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Chaitanya-upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 28, Instrumental Music, page 3. The current chapter discusses the basic principles of Gandharva Sangita. Gandharva is defined as that which is made by the stringed instruments and depends as well on various other instruments and consists of notes, svara, tala, time measurement, and verbal themes, pada. Various topics such as shrutis, micro intervals, swara, notes, grama, scales, murchana, arrangement of the swaras, and jati, melodic types, are enunciated in this regards. Right? So these are the areas. Right? Shloka Nasharanam. Verses 1 to 7, threefold application of musical instruments. 8 to 20, characteristics of the Gandharva. 21 to 23, the seven notes. 24 to 28, description of the two gramas. 29 to 34, the murchanas. 35 to 37, overlapping. 38 to 151, the jatis. Verses 1 to 7, threefold application of musical instruments in nataka. I shall now explain the formal aspects of the instrumental music, atodya. They are as follows. Regular musical instruments are of four kinds, such as string, tata, covered, ava, nadha, solid, gana, and hollow, shushira. Among these, stringed are those with strings. The covered means the drums, the solid, the cymbals, and hollow, the flutes. So, all instruments will fit into these categories. In connection with the dramatic performance, nataka, they have a threefold application. One, that in which the stringed instruments, tata, preponderate. Two, that in which the drums, ava, nadha, preponderate. And three, their general application during the dramatic performance, natya, krita. So you might have the musical side as more, or we see is that the drums will be more, depending upon what's going on in the scene. And then when the two of them work together and all that, then that will be something that's bringing out the dramatic, you know, the performance. Someone's dancing, singing, or doing something, and then they'll both work together. But sometimes you see is that there'll be an interval or something where you just have the music and you're setting a mood, or sometimes you're setting the mood with the drums, or doing something, someone's stepping, and the drums are going, you know, some different things like that. Or the king's coming out, and there's a big drum thing, or, you know, so it's just, you have both ways, I mean, these three ways, you know, one, the other, or the combination. Yeah. In the orchestra of the stringed instruments, kutapa, there are the singer, gayana, and his attendants and players of vipanchi, veena, and flute. Do we know what vipanchi is?
It's a type of veena.
It's a type of veena. Okay. Does it say what kind of string is there? This or that? Okay, so it's something lighter than that. It's all happening now. Tractors are heading out. Players of mridanga, earthen drum, panava, and dardura are collectively called the orchestra of the covered instruments. The orchestra related to actors and actresses, prakriti, of the superior, the middling, and the ordinary type, occupies different positions on the stage during the production of plays, natya yoga. Right? So then you have the orchestra, the percussion instruments, the orchestra, the stringed, and then where they're combined when it's focused on the actor. In other words, the one is they may take a prominence, the other is the actors will take the prominence. Mm-hmm. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Thus, the song, gana, the instrumental music, vadya, and the acting, natya, have different kinds of appeals. Vivi Dashraya should be made by the producers of plays like a brilliant entity. Allah Ta Chakra Pratima. Right, so the whole music and all that is a very important part of the whole thing. Much yes.
Saraswati
Vina
is called
the punch. Saraswati. Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Because a lot of times the South will have two kinds of Venus, like that, yeah. So then, it very much like you see is any kind of performance that's being there, the music, if it's done nicely, you don't even really notice the music. It just creates the right mood and everything and moves with everything, and it either matches what's going on or it sets a flavor for what's going on. You know, introduces what's going to happen or gives, you know, some aspect of conclusion. So that's why I say is the producers, they should be very careful to see that all this goes on nicely. Like that. Yeah? No. Verses 8 to 20. Characteristics of the Gandharva. That which is made by the stringed instruments and depends as well on various other instruments and consists of notes, swara, tala, time management, and verbal themes, pada, should be known as Gandharva, right? So the singing, the musical instruments, and the percussion instruments, that combination together, nicely bound, that's called Gandharva. Right? As it is very much desired by gods, and as it gives much pleasure to Gandharvas, it is called the Gandharva. In other words, the thing belonging to Gandharvas. Its source is the human throat, the vena, and the flute, Vamsa. I shall describe the formal aspects of their notes. Right, so these will be the prominent. Is that the vocal, the vena, and the flute? Those will be the prominent things on what's going to present that the musical aspect. You know, the swara aspect. Then you're going to have the theme, the time. That'll be the percussion. But then in the singing and that the notes, then you're going to have the pada, which is going to be the particular words of whatever it is you're saying. Because that will also influence. So it's not just instrumental, it's instrumental with words. So as we saw, when he says the orchestra, the stringed instruments, it mentioned the singer. The singer sits with them. Like that. So the vocal is actually the main instrument.
Yes, yes.
Like that. So. I shall describe the formal aspects of their notes. The Gandharva is of three kinds, that of the note, swara, that of the tal, and that of the verbal theme, pada. I shall describe the characteristics and the function of the three. Two bases of notes. The notes, swara, have two bases, the human throat and the vena. I shall speak about the formal aspects of notes arising from the two. Formal aspects of music of the vena, notes, swara, gramas, murchanas, talas, voice registers, stana, ritis, overlapping sadharana notes, overlapping notes, sadharana. I would have a tendency to put overlapping notes and then put the sadharana. Varnas, alankaras, dhatus, shrutis, and jatis, which are constituted by the regular notes, vidishvara, are available in the wooden vena. So this is means these are the aspects that you can bring out with the vena. Formal aspects of music of the human throat. Notes, gramas, alankaras, varnas, voice registers, jatis, and overlapping notes are available in the vena of the human throat. So the human is also considered, that's the original vena. So the other is that you have what you can do. But the other ones, you can move around how you're playing them and stuff like that. So you get a few more technical little things like that. But that's just how they play and stuff like that. But basically, the vena is trying to mimic the voice. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Aspects of the verbal theme in music. Consonants, vowels, euphonic combinations, sandhi, case endings, vibhakti, nouns, nama, verbs, akhyata, prefixes, upasarga, particles, nipata, secondary suffixes, taddita, and syllabic and metric meters always relate to the verbal themes of music, pada. So when you're doing a verse, the padas means it has a formal of what's there. So all these things fit into that. So it's not that you can drop all these things or not use the grammar or use it however you like. No, it still follows all the proper grammar, but you have to see that the syllables are going to fall according to the meter. You know, or you're going to have to do something with it where you try to stick in extra syllables, then you have to say them quicker or something. You know. These are of two kinds, composed, nibbata, and improvised, anibbata, literally not composed. 20 aspects of the tala. Now I shall speak of the tala. Avapa, nishkrama, nikshepa, praveshaka, samya, tala, sanipata, parivarta, vastu, matra, vidari, anga, tempo, laya. You should put laya and then put tempo after, because everything else is in Sanskrit. Yati, prakarana, giti, avayava, marga, padabhaga, and pani are the 20 formal aspects of the tala. These are in brief about the Gandharva. Please listen next in details about the same. Okay. 21 to 23, the seven notes. The seven notes are sajja, sa, rishabha, ri, gandharva, ga, madhyama, ma, panchama, pa, daivata, dha, and nishada, ni, udriti, nardi, siksha. Siksha is a branch of the Vedanga, and it deals with elements of chanting and phonetics. According to Taittiriya Upanishad 1.2, the elements of chanting include six factors: varna, syllable, swara, accent or note, matra, duration, balam, articulation or stress, sama, even note, and santanaha, continuity. It means it's even. You know, it's not you're going fast, slow, fast, slow. You're always going nicely. Mm-hmm. That's santana. The first four deal with the correct pronunciation of individual syllables, and the last two with recitation of the entire line or the verse. Some of the well-known siksha texts are Paninia, Yajnavalkya, Vashishta, Katyayani, Manduki, and Naradiya. Naradiya siksha is associated with Samaveda. Narada mentions the swaras as seven. So is this directly the thing, or this is an introduction? Or?
This is the introduction for Naradiya siksha.
It mentions that?
Here, from Narada mentions the swaras as seven. This is all from Narada Siksha Maharaj.
Oh, okay.
So how Narada Siksha is important for that?
Okay. Oh, that first one.
Yeah.
Okay. So now, Narada mentions the swaras as seven, swara septa, and he defines swara as that which is pleasant to be heard, that which is sweet and of a pleasing character, that which spontaneously charms the mind of the listener is called swara. So I guess it depends on the modes, right? Because there would be the natural thing we'd say as pleasant, but then there are those who then find things that are unpleasant as pleasant.
Yes.
Okay. Each sama swara is derived from the sounds made by a bird or an animal in its appropriate season. For instance, the peacock's cry was sajja. Okay. That's what. Bull's roar is rishabha. I guess that matches, right? Sheep, goat, bleat was ga, gandhara. Crownchukas, heron's cry was madhyama. Kokil is cuckoo. Melodious whistle was panchama, right? They always say they sing in the fifth note. So it's there. They may go up to five notes, but that first where they start, that's the fifth note. The neigh of the horse is daivata, and the elephant's trumpet is nishada. Right, because if you think about it, you can remember them, and they're always in the same place. So if you could get them all and you play one after another, you'd get the scale. Right? That would be an interesting scale, right? You don't go through because they would be there. Narad Muni further mentions several. So that's also how, without the machine or something, you can get the note. You just remember the peacock. Then you know you just tune to that. That's saw. And off a saw, then everything else is made. But if you need, then you can remember the others. If you don't know, if you can figure it out, then that's fine. But if not, then you have these notes. No? Very far out system. No?
Organic.
Yes, organic. It's organic. So next time you're tuning your ukulele, then... Narad Muni further mentions several parts of the human body as origins of the seven swaras on the scale. Sajra springs from the throat. Rishabha springs from the head. Gandharva from the nose. Madhyama from the chest. And Panchama springs from the... Madhyama, swara from the chest, and Panchama springs from the chest. The chest, the head, and the throat. Daivata from the forehead. As regards Nishada, it springs from the combination of all parts of the body. So when you say them, you'll get those positions. Okay. Narad next explains how and why the five swaras, Shajja, Rishabha, Gandharva, Madhyama, and Panchama, came to be named as such. Sajja, sa, because it is situated in the nose, the throat, the chest, the palate, the tongue, and the teeth. And because it springs from these six, it is traditionally called sajja, right? It's from the six. Rishabha, ri, because the air rising from the navel and striking the throat and head roars like a bull, it is called Rishabha. Gandhara, ga, because the air rising from the navel and striking the throat and the head blows smells to the nose and is delicious, for that reason it's called Gandhara. Is that why in French they speak so much to the nose? Because they get the nice smells, you know.
Maybe it is not always delicious.
Yeah, it depends what they ate. But it probably in the, huh?
Croissant.
Yeah, probably in their mind it was delicious. Yeah. Madhyama, because the essence of the madhyama is the air, which, rising from the navel, striking the chest and heart, reaches the navel as a big sound. Panchama, because the air which rising from the navel and striking the chest, the heart, the throat, and the head springs from these five places, is it accounted to be the essence of Panchama. The Sajjaswara is sung by Agni. Rishabha, ri, is uttered by Brahma. Gandhara, ga, is sung by Soma. Madhyama Swara, ma, is sung by Vishnu. Panchama Swara, pa, is sung by Narad, the great person, Mahatmana. The Daivata and Nishadas are sung by Tumburu. Naradi Siksha 1:5, 3-14. Yeah, Tumburu is the Gandharva. The demigods live on the Swara Krushta, Panchama. Human beings on Pratama, Madhyama. Cattle on Dvitiya, Gandharva. The Gandharvas and Apsaras on the next note, Tritiya, Rishabha. The birds, Andaja, others born from an egg. And the Pitris, ancestors, on the Chaturta, Sajja. The Pisachas, goblins. Lasuras and Rakshasas, demons, on Mandara. And the others on Atishvara, Nishada. Naradiya Siksha 1:7, 6-8. Right? So then even when you're singing all the six notes, all the seven notes, it also, is nourishing all these different positions of the living entities. Because that's then where they stay. So music, that's why music is seen as such a prominent thing. Mm-hmm. Like that. The swaras are also said to be related to certain colors. Sajja has a reddish color like lotus. Rishabha has a reddish yellow like a parrot. Gandhara is gold-colored. Madhyama is colored like jasmine. Panchama has a bluish-black color. Daivata is said to be yellow, and Nishada has all colors. Naradiya Siksha 1:4:1. The swara. Okay, that we just said. Based on the intervals of shrutis, there are four classes, such as sonant, vadin, consonant, samvadin, assonant, anuvadin, and dissonant, vibadin. So you have the main note, the supporting note, and then some other note that balances with that. Like if you have sa, you have pa, but then there'll be a note that goes with that sa, and then there'll be a discordant note that doesn't match. You know, for that particular mood. It may be used in another place as a match, but in this particular raga, and that, as we'll see, comes up, it'll be discordant. The sonant, vadin, and consonant, samvadi. That which is a governing note, or the key note, amsha, anywhere, will in this connection be called their sonant, vadin. Those two notes which are in an interval of 9 or 13 shrutis from each other are mutually consonant, samvadi. For example, Sajja and Madhyama, Sajja and Panchama, Rishabha and Daivata, Gandharva and Nishada in the Sajjagrama. So they're always, so it's a ma or a pa, means a fourth or a fifth from each other, like that. So with sa, you can get both of them, but with the others, then you have a very specific. Okay. Such is the case in the Madhyama Grama, except that Sajja and Panchama are not consonant, while Panchama and Rishabha are so. So in the Madhyama Grama, so that's another where they shift where the notes start from. And so then it's different. Right? Because you have the Saregama Padani Sa. And so that we're starting at Sa Grama. And so then we all those are mentioned. But if you start from Madhyama, so ma becomes the first note. So then you might have ma pa dani sa re ga, like that. So in that the intervals are different. So then what matches with each other is different. Does that make sense? Because the point is there's certain intervals between each note. And those are set. So if you shift that, it's not that those intervals are the same. Otherwise, it's still sagrama.
Yes.
You know? Yes. It means that the distances that are there from the sagrama, there are those being in that fixed place, now those differences, the first note, the difference is different.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
The difference is different.
Yeah.
I guess it's too technical for those who are not musicians. They can't figure it out.
Well, there's four positions of sa, three of re, two of ga, four of sa, I mean ma, four of pa, then three of da, and two of ni. Right? So that means in sa grama you'll have 4-3-2, 4-4-3-2. But if you go to the Madhyama Grama, then it'll go 4-4-3-2, 4-3-2, right? So that means how the notes are positioned is different. Mm-hmm. That's why then it's a different. It's harder to do. It's a different. So nowadays most people don't even use it. And then they're mentioning the two because there's also Ga Grama,
yeah,
which means you start from Ga. So instead of 4-3-2, so you start in 2-4-4-3-2-4-3. And so that's only used by the demigods. Like that. So before people might know it and use it, like we see in Radha and Krishna's pastimes, when Krishna dresses up as a gopi, you know, or dresses up as a demigoddess, and then comes to Radharani's house. And then they start discussing, and so when they find out that she's a demigoddess, so then they say, can you sing to us in Gandharva Grama this particular raga and this particular tal? In other words, the hardest grama in the hardest tal in the hardest raga, you know, with this note. And so then she does, because that means they know all that, but just they may not do it so often. You know, so they wanted to hear, okay, well, how is this going to... And so... Before they would use it, and then it's kind of like disappeared, and then the two are there, and I'd say today people only use sagrama. Like that. You know, 50 years ago, they'd still talk about magrama. Like that.
Nowadays it's only rap.
No, it's only raw drama. On these there is a traditional shloka. In the Madhyama Grama, Panchama and Rishabha are consonant, while Sajja and Panchama are so in the Sajja Grama only. Yeah, so it's just a difference in how the notes. Dissonant notes. If between two swaras there's only one shruti, these two notes are said to be vivadi to one another. The vivadi note is like the enemy. So if you have.
I'm not clear about gamma, shruti, or this thing.
Shruti means you have the seven notes, because it's about seven notes.
Yes.
But each note can have a few varieties of where it's starting. You know, it's just like, let's say, in the how it's generally used, you have the note, and then you have the other note, and what's in between, the half note.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So, like that, so that way you end up with 12 shrutis, though it's only seven notes. Right?
Yes.
So as you're saying, let's say it's C or it's C sharp.
Yes, yes.
But it's still just C.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Or D and D sharp or D flat, but it's still the one note. So where the notes can go, then that's there. So in the Vedic, instead of being 12, there's 22.
Okay.
So you have quarter, because up to a quarter note you can hear.
Yes.
Less than that you can't hear. So half notes are very solid, but in the Vedic, then they'll use quarter notes. So like if you're doing, like we're used to vibrato being between a note and its half note, you know, but there's also shorter than that, that's quarter note.
Okay.
So depending on where you are, it may be that note is put here, it's moved up, and so the distance between, let's say, sa and re will be shorter.
Yes.
Or longer, it made me move. So
yes.
Depending on that way, they get all the different varieties. So that each shruti has its flavor.
Okay. Yes.
Right? And so depending upon which, let's say if you attribute to each of the 22 shrutis an emotion,
yes. Yes.
Then depending upon which shruti you use for sa, it will give that emotion in that raga.
Yes.
You know, which one for Ray, which one, and so they have to match. So you can't have ones that don't match.
Yes.
So you have to have emotions that match.
Yes.
Or it's just that note is just left out. There's only six notes in the raga or five notes in the raga because those ones don't match that emotional presentation.
Yes. And when they say, as you were mentioning, can start by a different vara, it means it's in relation with the emotion.
Yeah. It'll just mean that the distances between notes will also vary. But the shrutis are the same. So that's the thing, is the shrutis are the same, it's just now you're starting at a different shruti as the bass note. Because otherwise, sa will have four shrutis that it starts with. But if you do magrama, then you have four different shrutis that you start with. So that means magrama will have a different flavor.
Yes.
Because the first note is always your main note. Is your is does that make sense? That's where your bass comes from.
The first note gives the
means. First note means what's the first note of the scale?
Yes.
Because from there you get all the other notes. But it may be generally you take the first note would be the main note, but it can be it's not the main note. Another note's the main note, but they'll balance. So it could be, in this case, sa is the main note, but it can be that it's not the main note, that ma, the fourth note, is the main note. And so sa is then the what do you call it? The somebody, the supporting note.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, so you're going to start at sa, but you're going to get up, and then all the act, everything's going to happen around the fifth note.
Yes.
Does that make sense? But most people play. So the point is with it, just like with the grammar, with the vocabulary, you can get unlimited things out of it. Music is the same. Even though it has seven notes, you can get unlimited music. Just like if someone just gives a few notes of a tune, you can identify what it is.
Yes.
Right? And so that's the thing, is all these different tunes, they're all different. Even though everybody's using the same seven notes. You know what I'm saying? And you can go back in time, you know, it goes back so much. You know, you can mention a tune from 100 years, 200 years, like that. And it's still unique.
Yes.
Like that. And if somebody, the notes are the same, they'll say it's their, you know, it's the same, they're plagiarizing.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So the note between two swaras means that'll be the dissonant, because it's like let's say you're playing on the white keys, so anything on the black keys will be a dissonant. It just doesn't match. So the note that's in between, you have to see there's going to be a dissonant. So generally it's left. Though sometimes in a raga they might use it just to give a flavor, but not as a regular thing, because it's not the main note. But every some now again it just comes up and goes out. Huh? Yeah. Assonant notes. Now sonant, consonant, dissonant notes have been determined. The remaining ones will be called assonant. Means they're just there. They're not a main note. They're not the main supporting note, and they're not a dissonant note. So that just means everything else. You know, you like this, to eat this, you hate eating that, everything else is just, you know, it just exists. Does that make sense? You know, and when it says the body and some body is, I eat this with this sauce, right? So they go together. The other things, who cares? Not yet. As a note predominantly sounds, it is called sonant. As it sounds in consonance with another, it is consonant. As it sounds discordantly to another, it is discordant. And as it follows another note, it is called assonant. Right? So it follows. It means you're going to have the main note, but you're going to move around in the scale and then come back to it. Right? These notes become hot, low, or high according to the adjustment of the strings. And the various conditions, literally diversity, of the beam of the vena and the sense organs. Footnote 2. Footnote 2 is very subtle. Very subtle.
I was supposed to remove it, and I removed that text, but forgot to remove the footnote.
But then, okay.
Because the explanation was not required, this was.
Oh, okay. So much about the aspects of the four classes of notes. Description of the two gramas, footnote 3. Gramas describes a group of scales consisting of all the Shuddha and Vikra swaras. Shuddha means that they're all just, the swaras are going in a straight line. Vikra means they're bending. You know, means we're used to, you go sa re ga ma pa da ni sa. That's straight. But if you go sa re ga ma pa da ni sa, like that, that's Vikra. Because sometimes the melody won't just come down, it has to go bend, or it won't just go up, it'll have to go back like that. It always is like that. It's not a variation, it's just it has to be that way. And then within variation, you can adjust with that. Does that make sense? So sometimes, because as we're saying, if all the notes represent a particular emotional state, you can't necessarily go from one emotion to this other, it has to go through a different one first.
Yes.
You know. Like frustration is going to go to anger, then it's going to go to resolution.
Yes.
Like that. So that means if you're doing something there, it always has to go through that flow.
Yes.
Then it can go into something else.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. A group of scales consisting collected together and preserved for the purpose of selecting from that group scale any desired set of seven swaras within a graha, the starting point, which set when sung in the natural order of ascent and descent was called as murchanas, and when a harmonic individuality was established with the help of amsa, nyaya, vivadi, and sambhari, etc., took the name of jati. I take it you got this from a book.
I forgot to change that towards
the... Yeah, because one time I was talking with a musician, you know, a professional musician, and I was bringing up questions like this, and he just stopped me and said, "Where did you get this stuff from?" And I mentioned a book and like that, and the particular author. Oh, an academic. Yeah, yeah, of course. And then he explained it in a completely different way. So that's the problem, is they're trying to apply onto it something that they can understand and relate to from Western music. But it's not necessarily like that. You have something, but it doesn't exactly mean that. Because, see, like in Western music, murchana is going to be basically, you go, you know, sa re ga ma pa ra ni sa ni pa, like that. And then you move your fingers up one note, and then do exactly the same thing, and then move it up one note. But the spacing is exactly the same. So in the West, you can say that's how it's working. But in the Vedic, as we said, the swaras, there's only so many that are in there. It actually, the gaps move. So how it will be heard will be different. So that's a problem, because they're working on these fixed notes, and these notes are also, I think, what do you call it? Harmonic, right? Because they want to play everything at once, so they have to have things that aren't going to fight with each other. Right? Because otherwise, if you do, they'll start making these kind of like whining sounds. So previously, they would play what was called enharmonic, or is it? Yeah, not the harmonic scale. And so there would be different gaps. And so if you're playing on an instrument where you're playing one note at a time or singing one note at a time, then it would work. But when they started using the piano and the pipe organ and that, they had to use this harmonic. Like that's why you hear sometimes, you hear old like Gregorian chants, and then sometimes they bring up Roman music in Latin. You know, that goes back in that. It sounds very different because it's not using the modern scale, because the modern scale is technically out of key. It's not exactly, you know, in key, because you have to have, there has to be, this is 100 waves per second. And so the next note up, it has to be 200. And then the next one up is 4, and like this. Well, in the enharmonic, it's not like that. And so then also you get, it has a different meaning. So because they've changed the nature of how they use the music, then some of these things don't have the same, meaning. Even though mechanically it may look the same, it doesn't have the same meaning anymore. Does that make sense?
Yes, some doesn't have any meaning.
Well, zero. Okay.
Maharaj, we have always the same situation, you know. If from with the Western approach, we cannot understand the Vedic presentation.
It's harder.
And even if we try, we automatically speculate or divide in a different way.
Yeah, or bring it into like this. So that's what happens. That's why we have to change how we're thinking about it.
Yes.
Because, as we mentioned, means each note has a mood. It'll be taken that, oh yeah, a scale will have a mood. Right? Major scale will be more happy, a minor scale will be more, you know, melancholy or, you know, pathos, yes, or these kind of things. Like that. But in the Vedic, each note has it, and so how you put it together, because you can get these combinations. Right? Because you can get a combination of moods. That's like the centuries. So basically you can think of it as centuries, basically, like that. And then these notes represent, and then they move through that, and that then supports what you're dealing with. Does that make sense? So they move in a particular way. One naturally moves into another. So that's, then the music has to move in the same way. Does that make sense? Yeah. So all we're saying is that there's going to be a difference in the spacing between these notes.
Yes.
Because the Western, it has to be exactly the same. Otherwise, you can't play it on a piano, or you can't play it on the regular orchestra. Because they're all playing all these different things. You know, like the first violin's playing one thing, the second's playing something else, third's another thing. And so they're each playing completely different things. And when you hear it all together, then it all sounds like that. You hear a main melody and all that. There's everything in the background. So in the Vedic, they won't do that. It'll all be off of that main note, the notes that match. You can only play those. You know, the fifth, the main note and the fifth or the fourth. You know, from that, because it's fifth going up, it's fourth going down. I mean, excuse me, it's fourth going up, fifth going down. Or the other, whichever. Does that make sense? Because if you take the note that there's seven, if you go up five to get to the same note going down, it's down four. Mm-hmm. Right? Like, you know, sa, 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 re, ga, ma, pa. Mm-hmm. But if we go sa, ni, da, pa, it's four down.
Yes.
So down, it's a fourth.
Yes.
Up, it's a fifth.
Yes.
So that's why it's saying those two go together. So then those notes can be played by everybody.
Yes.
So they have to see is wherever the note is, then they can only play within that range. So it has a very specific sound to it. It'll be more sattvic and everything like that. Because when you mix all these notes like that, it becomes more passionate.
Yes.
That's why it's you know, previously it was more kind of religious and all that, so it wouldn't be as much. But then as you get into the age of, you know, how you say, the Renaissance, the age of enlightenment, you know, and that, then all these romantic composers, then it's much more passionate. You know.
In Vedic presentation, the musicians are very often not so many, actually.
No, they can be a huge amount. Indra has, in his orchestra, where when he, you know, for his court, there's a thousand instruments. Like in, sometimes in, what do you call it? I think it's in Bali. But they also do it, I think, in Indonesia. Bali's part of Indonesia, right?
Yeah.
It's a general thing there, but you see it a lot there. They do, they have this thing called gamelan. It's just a percussion thing. It's all the solid instruments. And they'll have 300 of them. And they all play together. It's completely insane. Like that. And they're all playing all these amazing, you know, things, and not all going at once and everything at once. And someone was telling me from there is that the guy who's the senior most of them, he's playing the one instrument where all he plays is the beat. He just does that because no one else will be able to keep it because they're all just going crazy and all over the place like that. He just does that. If you ever look it up, look up gamelan. Completely nuts. There's 300 of them. So they can do that, and then on top of that, add everything else. You know, you haven't ever seen, like, they'll have a performance of, I think they did it at, what was it, like in the 70s. One of the, when they had the, what do you call that? I think it was 70s, maybe it was 80s, but the, not Academy Awards, the Olympics in Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
And they had, and for the opening ceremony, like they always like to do something, as we mentioned before, and they're amazing. It has to be amazing. It's not sweet. You know, it's not clear. It's amazing, right? So they had something like 70 full grand pianos playing at once. They're all playing the same thing. So it's not a problem to do that. And so he'll have 1,000 instruments in his court. So many will be playing the same, some will be playing the backup just behind it. Like that, no? It works.
Like in South, there's on the birthday of the music trio,
Chagaraj,
or anybody,
yeah.
They play like 150, 200 venas at a time.
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. They do that. Sometimes, I think it was in the West, someplace they did it was can't remember, it was 1,000 drummers and people singing for somebody's birthday, you know, some rock star guy. Yeah. So it can be done. Don't worry. It makes it more grand. Mm-hmm. Like that. So that's in his court they do. But it'll have that Vedic sound to it. They won't do harmonies. That's the main thing. They don't do harmonies. Fifths, fourths, these certain things that match, those are used. You know, and they have their positions that then support like that. It's like on a sitar. You play the main note, that note in the sympathetic string will play, but also the fifth from that will play. You know? But then also sometimes the fifth from that will play, which will be, you know, maybe a fourth or something like this. It's very far out. You'll get the sound, it'll just go out from there. So they can play like that. But it's very specific. They can't put in more notes. So that's the thing in the Western, they make these harmonies and put in so many notes. Like that. But it brings out passion. That's what it does. Well, in the Vedic, by not doing that, it keeps them more in the goodness. And then we do it for Krishna, so it's pure goodness. That makes sense? I mean, you have 5,000 maidservants. They're not dancing in the rasa dance. Right? So then they can be doing the music. Right? So it's not a problem having orchestras. Yeah?
Maharaj. Here we're trying to explain that though grama, murchana and jati all are discussed in terms of those the swaras.
Mm-hmm.
The grama is just the scale itself, like how you put, and the murchana is then the playing, how it goes in the ascending or descending order. It has an order.
Mm.
But when you say jati, then it has specific qualities like amshana, inyasa and all. Then it creates that particular effect which we want. That's okay. Why from jati came the raga.
Okay, so that means then if you're taking the notes and how you run in the arohan, avarohan, that's actually the murchana.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that makes it even easier. Does that make sense?
I put it this
way. Can you translate in English?
Okay. Means let's say a song, it has the seven notes.
Yes.
And the notes move in a certain order up and down.
Yes.
But that doesn't make the melody. It's when you combine it together to bring out the mood, that's when you get the melody. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's what's called here jati.
Yes.
So that you have the seven notes, that's swara.
Yes.
Right? And they can either be in a direct or indirect. Murchana means that how you go through those notes and go up and down. Like when you play scales and stuff like
yes.
that,
yes.
that's murchana.
Okay.
By this definition.
Yes.
Then when you put those together
yes.
to play to bring out a particular mood, so it has that particular melody, that will be jati.
Yes.
But jati is bringing out that mood. You could have so many melodies out of it.
Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say you're doing something, how you say, you want to do something grand, they generally use certain notes. Like you notice the national anthem
yes.
of every country basically is using the same notes because they want to make something, you know, grand and special and
yes.
it's our country and this and that. And but how they'll put the notes together, what order and all that, how they'll move it around, that'll be unique, but it still has that same flavor.
Mm-hmm.
While let's say if you're doing something, they're doing a performance on something romantic, they'll use a different set of
yes.
notes.
Yes.
But how they'll put it together in the tunes, that will be different. Though it's always the same kind of notes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Does that make yes. sense? So the jati is a group of notes, and they carry a particular flavor.
Yes, yes.
And I guess depending on which one you emphasize,
yes.
you can bring out a different flavor.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it's just like, let's say somebody is feeling bad.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Sorrowful. It doesn't mean that while they're sorry that there isn't a feeling of anger coming up or, you know, a feeling of helplessness or this or that. But let's say the sorrow is the main thing, it will carry that. But it can also be when sorry, what gets into anger, and gets sorry, and gets anger becomes a plane, or the helplessness becomes a prominent. Yes. So with one jati, then you can get so many derivatives. Mm-hmm. And that way, with 18 jatis, you can get all music. But in this, is what you see is that you have to know the swaras and their emotions and how it is and how those move and all that. And if you know that, then you can use the jatis. Yes. Or you just learn from somebody who does know, or that, memorize it and play it, and then it's a jati. You know, but it's not necessarily you know how to use them. Mm-hmm. Right? You know, it's just like I can sing a song, I may not be able to create a song.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, I can sing along, but there's the guy who can improvise.
Yes. Yes.
Right? Yeah. So then to make it easier, because this is more technical and you have to be more expert at this, then Narad Muni, then he gave ragas. Mm-hmm. So raga means is that from the jati, this particular combination, how you'd use the notes, will bring out that flavor, and then it's set like that. Even though so many ragas would be just part of one jati.
Mm-hmm.
He's brought them out as separate ragas so mm-hmm. that you can tell, okay, this is what you do. And even within that you can see these classical musicians, they can do unlimited, you know, presentations with it. But they stay within more of a framework. Because
yes.
The jati doesn't have which one, it just means which one you want to bring out, that's the one way you use it. Does that make sense? It's like in cooking. You have things that you want to bring it out more. Say, like I have spinach sabzi, and I take some eggplant, cut it small, fry it, and put it in. But I could also take an eggplant sabzi and put some spinach in it. But it's the same thing. But depending upon how I'm dealing, it comes out seemingly like two completely different things. You know, and then if it's the spinach, I might spice it one way. If it's the eggplant, more with the spinach, I spice it another way.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, that would all be one jati.
Yes, yes.
So then Narad Muni made it into ragas, so then you have this recipe and that recipe. So one's a spinach sabzi, one's an eggplant sabzi. Does that make sense? Does that work?
Better.
Well,
I mean, without musical background.
Yeah, of course.
Especially, like you mentioned, that the Western music is off-key.
Right.
But actually, as it sounds to, like, me personally.
Right.
The Western music is harmonious.
Yeah.
But the Vedic music is very strange, especially when the first time it was introduced. I was thinking, is it the music at all? Because it sounds like offbeat, everything.
Uh-huh.
Completely. Now it makes more sense, but it's very. It's complicated. It's not like we want to flow with the music, but then there you have to make an effort to realize, to get that emotion which is in there.
Okay.
And then in the Western music, it's obvious.
Mm.
But the Vedic music, it's much more subtle. So to many, it doesn't make any sense. They don't have the mode to connect with that kind of music.
So basically, until Govindamar sings it in the kirtan, we can't relate to it.
Shiva Maharaj, it's much more complex.
Yeah.
Although he plays it simpler.
Mm.
But his melodies are all deep, mainly.
Mm.
And Adiras is like...
Yeah. And, yes.
In the Vedic, the stringed instruments are like the focus and the tal, the covered instruments, they follow.
They follow, yeah.
But in Western, covered instrument is the main thing,
yeah.
All the drums and all. The navan,
and everybody has to follow that. Yeah, you actually
so
make the... That's the interesting thing. That's interesting. Yeah, because you name the music by the percussion. Like rock and roll is one thing, rhythm and blues is another, based on how the drums work. You know? How the movement. While in the Vedic, it's the singing, and you have so many ways you could do it. You could do the one thing in so many different... Like you have, like some of our songs, it's not done as much as it used to be, but you have the one song, it starts off in one melody and then and one beat, and then it changes. Yeah. Sometimes it's the same melody, but the beat changes.
Yeah.
Like that, and so, yeah, you can get all kinds of things.
Parama Karuna, you know, different
yeah.
songs.
Yeah,
like that.
Like they that.
Start, like, and then the ending is completely different.
Different, yes. Yes. So these are things you can do. Because the melody will be, the words, I mean, for us, it's the words are the main thing. And then that's expressed then through the melody. And then that's then backed up by the instruments and the drums and everything else. So like that. But now in the classic, the Indian classical, the words aren't important. They've kept the melody is the important thing. And then it used to be that vocal was the main and instrumental backed up. But then because now there wasn't any importance in what you were saying, then the guys who are on the instruments, they want to be prominent also. You know, it's just like in France, when the bourgeois had, you know, more money than the aristocracy, you know, the royalty, then they wanted a piece of the action. And so like that. So now you see is the instrumentalists are the prominent. And then even now and again you have guys, what is it, night that Ala Raka and the, who is that other, that one guy, he always looks crazy. I don't know, he plays tabla.
Zakir,
like that. Frizzy hair, and when he plays, he does that wild look, like, you know, like that. You know, it's part of the show, but whatever. And if you just have a tabla solo or two tablas playing, it's like, okay. So it's just entertainment for the senses. It doesn't have any purpose other than that. Well, but previously, originally, it's to express a song about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And then you give the appropriate, you know, raga, the appropriate instruments, the tal, everything like that. Like you see in the songs written by Rupa Goswami or Gita Govinda, like that, they give the tal. I mean, they give the rag. And sometimes even the tal, if it's something really, really important. And so then you know that's how it should go. That will match the mood very nicely.
In South, it's called raga, tan, and pallavi. Huh? Even how you have to sing the first notes, which one should be what, I think, pallavi is.
Okay.
All the three, there will be three ones. Each one is sung differently.
Oh, okay, the three sections, yes. Yeah.
So, it should be given, which is a major one.
Okay. Sir?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maharaj, also, on this point of murchanas and jatis, it's like, murchanas is like, you just define what are the spices and what are the subject, how it goes.
Okay.
And then jati is now which spice should be more, which spice should be less. Then it gives the quality of the subject.
Okay, gives particular flavor.
Just like where the which note is emphasized, and which note should be like swadhi or which is samvadhi, and there is amsha is also like the same as swadhi, keynote.
Amsha is
the keynote. Which is the keynote? Vadi is which you are emphasizing. Amsha is which is the first.
Okay, it's just like, let's say, I saw it was something in Vrindavan, so when Baba cooked, and it was the mixed vegetable, you just take all the different vegetables and just put them all together. So generally you put some ginger, and then there'll be and cumin. Generally the cumin is the more prominent. But in this one, when I had it, it was so unique. He made the ginger the prominent flavor. And so it came out very different, because it gives another way, because ginger is very broad flavor and cumin's very broad, but one's more bright and one's more of a background. So it was very far out. So that would be the same.
Also in South India, when the Brahmins cook tamarind rice, they add a lot of hing.
Okay.
It has different effect because tamarind and hing together creates an effect.
Okay.
You don't add, then it is like once you eat, you feel like backache. If you eat a lot of tamarind, then you feel.
Okay. So that's what the hing's for?
I don't know.
To get rid of that, because backache means vata. Vata is controlled by hing.
I think so.
That's the point of the hing. The
Brahmins are doing some purpose.
Because they can eat more. That's the whole point. You put less because you eat a little bit of this and then other things. They put more because then they can eat that much. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki Jai.